I'm a Kerry woman. I was actually born at home. My mother was a bit of a trailblazer then, back in the summer of 1969. And it's not my first time venturing into politics. I stepped in 2011. I was annoyed that the public service was sort of being scapegoated for the bank bailout. That was 2011. Then 2016, I ran independent again. And I did do locals in 2019, but this time I'm really looking at where Ireland is in relation to Europe. And I have been in nursing now for 36 years, and I've taught thousands and thousands of nurses. And what really, really saddens me is the immigration, just like we've been listening about the Titanic, the emigration of our young people out of the country. And the other issues I am interested in are the loss of sovereignty in relation to our country. We've ceded an awful lot of control to the EU over the years. If you take, you know, we joined in 1972, well, the referendum in 1972, is which my father said he voted for, and we joined then in 1973, and our first elections were in 1979. So we have, this is our 10th series of elections. So if we look at over the 45 years, our population has grown from 3 million back then to almost 5.3 million now. And we have to look really at whether, what is our relationship with Europe now, 50 years down the road.
And can I ask you, Mary, where do you feel our relationship is at a half century down the road? Because it's clear from what you've said so far is that you feel perhaps it leaves maybe not a lot to be desired, but there's elements of it that leave a lot to be desired.
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the main things I see, and it's not just us in Ireland that are saying this. I mean, we're 27 countries in the EU. And if you look at the political groupings, I'm not sure people fully get it, that once you become an MEP, you have to join one of the political groupings. But they are also saying that the countries are not being enabled to make decisions in the best interests of their countries, and that the EU Commission has far too much control. And that was one of the issues that concerned us in the Lisbon Treaty, and we rejected that treaty, and then it was run again. You know, they always say, oh, you have to run it again to get the answer they want. But one of the things we campaigned on that time was about an EU Commissioner. But actually, the EU Commissioner for Ireland takes an oath that it will act in the interests of Europe, not in the interests of Ireland. And I was listening to another Clare man who's running as an independent. I know we're both in the mix for trying to get number one votes, but Eddie Punch was very, very good at his analysis of what's going on in Europe. He was at a committee hearing there on agriculture, and he was asked by Michael Fitzmaurice, you know, who rules or who runs Europe. And he explained, and he said, I know, this is the way he said, a big statement, I know, but Timmermans basically said to the European People's Party, which is the biggest grouping in the European Parliament, that if you don't back what we're telling you to do, you won't get your agenda item through. And that was in relation, you know, to the Nature Restoration Pact.
We know, because we not just on his decision to run, like yourself, as an independent candidate in the European elections, but we'd have Eddie on speaking about agriculture-related matters, which is something you want to campaign on as well. You talk about the EU Commission having too much control. Do you think that at least they're recognising that? We've seen, particularly in agriculture and following all the farmers' protests in Europe over recent months, including here, the EU has moved to reduce some of the administrative burden on farmers. Is that at least them putting a hand up saying mea culpa and we'll do what we can? They're opening an online survey for farmers to voice exactly what the concerns are, what the sources of these administrative burdens that they've highlighted are. This is the EU and the Commission listening to farmers and their concerns.
Well, I think it's interesting that it had to take the level of protests, which weren't widely covered on our Irish media. But across the whole of Europe, and they're still continuing. It took massive protesting to get a shift on things. And there are many groupings then too in the European Parliament that aren't happy about this, the pushback on the green and the climate policies. But what is happening really is that farmers are being tie up in knots with all of these regulations. And we, food security is very important. Food production is very, very important. And this move towards endorsing plant-based and the culling of our national herd is being talked about a lot. So it's imperative that we control food security, and that we don't have to compete with foreign imports that don't have the same quality controls. But in relation to also small businesses, it's very, very important that they aren't strangled, you know, found to be strangled with all of these regulations as well, because corporations, they can withstand those big hits. And like for the likes of Clare and Kerry, where I'm from, tourism is so important, family businesses, and we have seen that 40% of the beds have been taken out of our tourist industry, and that's having a huge impact on your small business, and many of them are closing.
And Mary, unfortunately, time very much against us, so I just want to get a sense from you before we finish. You're concerned about Irish sovereignty and you know, European Commission having too much control, but overall, if you take a macro view of it, do you feel that Ireland being a member of the EU is ultimately a good thing? Is it just you would like to see some reform and some changes made, and countries having more say about things of their own, matters of their own that relate to their own national importance? Because I think ultimately people would feel that the 50 years or so that we've been a member of the EU has been transformative for this country. Well, if you look at where Ireland and our economy was when we were a nation of 3 million people back in the 70s, when we were still very much dependent on trade with Britain, to where we are now.
Well, there are merits into being in the EU, of course. There are merits, especially, you know, the market that exists, and the free trade and the free movement and all of those things. But if we look back...
And we've seen the... we've seen the influence as well in Brexit. We've seen the UK leave the EU, and so far it doesn't look as if it's going swimmingly for them. But you've seen a small nation like Ireland having a significant say in how the negotiations have gone, even though ultimately the negotiations have been between, or were between, the European Union and the United Kingdom.
Well, in saying that, you know, we have 14 MEPs now coming up out of 720. That's just about 2%. And in the European Parliament, we can't initiate legislation. So it's important that we recognise that we need to regain control, and this is happening across those MEPs that are being elected. They are seeing that they need to act in the interests of their country, and we need to act in the interests of our country. And the other thing I want to talk about is neutrality.
We'll have to be, unfortunately, very, very brief on that, Mary, because we're over time already.
I'm a mother of four sons. The age range from 23 down to 11. And war is a defeat for humanity. And I think that we can use our neutrality to advocate for peace. We have to stop the hatred. We have to stop the killing. We have to stop the wars. And we cannot have what we had after World War II. I mean, part of the European project really was this idea of a peaceful Europe.